Good people. It is a Tuesday. Yes, it is. And we are feeling good on this Tuesday, a tasty Tuesday. We got C-Cat on the other side of the glass on the ones and twos. And we have Tina in the wild pulling up for the happy hour as we get things going. What a week. How locked in were you on your cutie patootie Josh Allen last night?
I wasn't locked in at all.
How can you not watch the guy? He's like your man crush Monday, and he was playing on a Monday Night Football.
That's spot on. He is my man crush Monday of NFL player.
Yeah.
But I had a little pizza night with one of my friends, and we were watching other shows.
Okay, so, I get it. I mean, that game was over with by like the end of the first quarter anyways, but thankfully there were two Monday Night Football games. Yeah. So I tapped in on the other one. Like, how soon did you turn away from Bills versus Jaguars, CK?
So once the week goes to Saturday, I bring my old TV from upstairs, I bring it downstairs, and I stack them.
Is this a fat body, like a TV with a butt, or is this a flat screen?
No, it's just a smaller flat screen
that I had
before I upgraded to a bigger one.
Yeah.
But, I just bring it downstairs, put it on the floor below my new screen, and I watch both. So double screen it, so I was watching both the entire time.
Yeah. I did. I kept one screen up, and I did. I turned away. I think it was. I can't remember which touchdown it was. It was like the fourth touchdown, I think, of the first half from Josh Allen. And I was like, "Yeah, this thing's wrapped up. The Jaguars have quit. They don't really have much in the tank." And Josh Allen, the cutie patootie, he looks inevitable. He looks really strong. I'm actually, as a Chiefs fan, and as somebody who said, you know what, this offseason, I never said I was out on Josh Allen. I said we're gonna find out this year. And we'd have messed around and found out that dude still got it.
Yes.
Might even be better.
Yeah, it's really fun when you have an offensive onslaught like the Bills were putting forth on live television last night. When you see, they went 3-and-out. They've got a chance to score again, and they're going to go for 6. I like that little feeling where it's almost like a video game.
It's almost as good as the Commanders and Bengals game. I would argue Bills-Jaguars first half was as entertaining as Commanders Bengals, even though that one was more competitive down the stretch and we had huge plays from Jaden Daniels. That was thrilling. That was fun. It also is fun sometimes to watch a team beat up on another team, especially in the NFL. Like in college football, when you're watching like Alabama whoop up on a Toledo or something, some kind of cupcake, and I feel bad. That's disrespectful to Toledo. Okay. Toledo's not like a
Toledo's pretty good this year.
They're not a That's kind of screwed up. I apologize to Rocket Nation.
Akron.
Let's go with Akron. I'm sorry. I don't know why I had Toledo. But to watch in college football like Alabama beat up on Akron, that's not fun.
No.
It's not fun at all. There's something non-enjoyable about it because you know there were no expectations. In the NFL, watching a team bludgeon another squad, especially when they're doing it offensively and like you said, going for 6 every time and not kicking field goals, it's fun. And we've been missing that through the first 3 weeks of the football season. And the Bills provided it last night with a 47 piece.
Yeah, it's like two different types of movies, and both do well in the box office.
Yeah.
Watching the Bills run up the score in the first half is like watching a Fast and Furious movie, which there's a reason why they keep making those movies.
Yeah.
Nonstop action. The result is never really in doubt. Like, Dom Toretto's going to be alive at the end of the movie. The Rock's going to be okay.
They should kill him one time.
And just bring him back and just act like it never happened. And then a Christopher Nolan movie is like the actual drama, like actually high quality film was the Commanders and Bengals game last night because you didn't know what the end was going to have in store. I thought for a second the Commanders were going to blow that game. I honestly did.
Wow. I have no faith in the Bengals. And that more so is obviously partially biased because I don't like them. But then also I've seen what they've looked like the past 2 weeks and they give me no confidence in them. C-Cat, you just brought something up with Fast and Furious. It made me think about something. I actually haven't watched the Fast and the Furious since Too Fast, Too Furious.
You're not missing out on anything.
Like, what's the latest? There's like 12 movies out, right? Like,
they are so bad. They turn your brain into mush. Yeah. My college roommate, freshman year, his birthday party was going to this 4D theater to watch the latest of that time Fast and Furious movie.
Oh, my God.
And I was raining on everybody's parade. I was probably a really bad roommate and a bad friend because I was yucking his yum. He loved those movies. I couldn't stand it. I was rolling my eyes. I was being passive aggressive.
Yeah.
I was a bit of a B, but the movie sucked.
But you're right to do so because if you center your birthday around watching a Fast and Furious movie, like, and you tell other people to come out and do that with you, that is not only selfish, that is corny.
They were running 10 deep at that movie theater in Scranton, Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania.
That is absolutely abysmal. What's the last Fast and Furious movie you've seen, Tina?
I think the last one I watched was when Paul Walker was in it. Like, it's been a while.
Oh, when I'll see you again with the, the cars.
Yeah, I don't think I could watch it any other one.
That is one to watch.
It. Yeah.
That is one to watch.
Yeah.
I have not seen any of the Fast and Furious ones since literally the number two. Too Fast, Too Furious. I remember the Ludacris song. I remember going. I remember exactly where I was at. I remember who I went with and everything. I watched it in the theaters. It was good. And I was like, you know what? That's enough.
See,
apparently they didn't think so.
It's cheesy, it's corny, and everyone in it knows the dialogue is ridiculous.
Yeah.
But they won't actually admit it. I like the sci-fi original movies? Like, you turn on the sci-fi channel and you have like Sharknado or the type of movies that are like that.
I know what you mean, but I never do that, but yes.
Those movies I would rather watch than the Fast and Furious. Because I know Sharknado's budgets aren't as high as Fast and Furious, and they're intentionally cringy. I'll take that.
Yeah, sometimes it is cool to watch an intentionally cringy movie than a movie who is trying to take itself seriously, but walking out there and falling on its face, similar to what the Bengals were doing last night on Monday Night Football. They try to take themselves seriously. Cam Taylor-Britt, the cornerback, who said, that's a college offense y'all are running out there in Washington. I'm not really threatened by Jaden Daniels. Got taken deep, not once, but twice. And they watched Jaden Daniels put up numbers on them that were not only elite and prolific, they were historic. Jaden Daniels went 21 for 23, 254 yards through the air, two touchdowns, and he had a completion percentage above 91, breaking a rookie record. Also, I didn't realize that was his first passing touchdown of his career. In game three, he gets his first passing touchdown of his career, and just like last week when the Chiefs threw one to Wanye Morris, the Bengals let an offensive tackle score on them again. Can we hear that call from Joe Buck on Monday Night Football? Jaden Daniels' first passing touchdown of his career to a tackle.
Late clock, they don't. With 3 seconds left, Daniels flips. He's got another, and this time it's Trent Scott. The big tackle was the extra offensive.
That is Jaden Daniels to Trent Scott, his first touchdown of his career. And they raised a good question there. Like, that's Jaden's first touchdown, right? So that's a very important ball for him. I'm sure for Trent Scott, the offensive lineman, that might be his only career touchdown. Who gets the football?
Well, it's the same controversy you had the last weekend with Roma Dunze and Caleb Williams. It was both their first touchdown. And they were running to the sideline holding the ball together.
Yeah.
And I don't know. They were talking about cut the baby in half. Like, you got to cut it in half.
I would cut it in half.
That'd be pretty cool. And you, like, stand it up on your shelf.
Yeah, that's true. And make it like one of those. Yeah, you're right. Cutting it in half, getting it sewed up.
We used to have these, like, bounce back footballs where you could throw it to, if you have no friends, you could throw it at the wall, you know, catch it yourself, whatever. I would cut it in half.
Well, we all have friends here, though, right? Like,
we all have friends.
Yeah, the football doesn't go to the lineman, by the way. Like, in that scenario, no. It goes to the quarterback, Jaden Daniels. The lineman doesn't. What's he going to do with the football?
That's his only career touchdown.
He'll get
put
another.
Put it in his office. Put it in his room. I don't know. Anything.
So here's what they have to do then if you're the Commanders. If you're going to give the football to Jaden Daniels, you have to force feed that lineman another touchdown. Mm-hmm. The only problem is the only team that's giving up touchdowns, the offensive lineman these days, are the Bengals, and the Washington Commanders don't have them on the schedule anymore.
But 35 years from now, if we go through the history that Jaden Daniels and the Commanders want history to go, you'll be talking about Jaden Daniels is in the Hall of Fame as a Commander. Wow. The football that's in the Hall of Fame was his first touchdown thrown.
Okay.
It's not going to be the lineman's first touchdown or only touchdown.
I feel like you're being a little dramatic.
Yeah. I mean,
no, I'm not. I think it's being more dramatic to act like the lineman catching the ball is a bigger deal.
Here's the thing, though. Jaden Daniels' first touchdown came against the Buccaneers in the form of a run. So, yeah, it's his first passing touchdown, but it's not even his first touchdown as a pro. He had two rushing touchdowns against the Bucs to open the season off. So that ball is more important to the lineman there. And you guys, just like always, are picking on the offensive linemen. The guys they're doing the faceless work. They're doing the grunt stuff. These guys get no credit, no love, and y'all are trying to take the ball away from them.
I'm saying split it in half. If the quarterback wants the ball, split it in half. But I would agree. I think the lineman, because he'll probably never get one again.
Never get it again.
Yeah, he'll have the highlight, and the highlight is what lives forever. That's what you show your kids. You don't show your kids the stupid football that looks like every other football. You show them the highlight.
Oh, my.
You know, you just said you were raining on your friend's parade for his birthday. I feel like you just rain on everyone's parade all the time.
That's not true. I'm an exceptionally positive individual.
Yeah, that's exactly the opposite. That's exactly the opposite.
I light up the room when I walk in.
You don't. You light it up with fire and flame and also just a little bit of... You like to try and mellow people out.
Yeah, I humble people. Is that a bad thing?
You don't humble people.
I think
that is the most arrogant thing I've ever heard anybody say in my life.
It's not like
humble people.
Not by being great, just by showing someone who they actually are.
That is the
no.
Is that not the most arrogant statement you've ever heard? I humble people. C-Cat, 2024.
I think that's a great quality to have in a person.
That, like, you humble everybody that you go around?
Yeah, I don't kiss butts. You know, I don't raise people up and make them think they're better than they are. I bring them down to where they actually are. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my goodness.
He's so full of himself. That's the most arrogant thing I've heard anybody ever say, is that you humble people with your presence.
Being self-aware is an invaluable quality to have. And I think everybody should be as close to as perfectly self-aware as they can be.
Yeah.
And I help them get there.
You don't help. So that's the problem, too, is the problem. You think that you can influence people's self-awareness. Well, what's the first part of that word?
Self.
Yeah.
You need a little bit of help.
Trust me. People that know that. Trust me. People that have an inaccurate depiction of their self, you're not going to change that, C-Cat. Just one person can't do it. People are crazy.
Day by day. Just, it's like bumpers at a bowling alley. I can't actually roll the ball for you, but I can help you. I'll get you there. Eventually, one comment at a time.
As an idiot.
Every single day here in the City Play Studios.
Where do we find this guy, C-Cat? I don't know.
Absolutely don't know. If there's one guy that needs to be humbled in the league right now, it's Joe Burrow, and he got a nice slice of humble pie last night. He had a good game. He wasn't bad. But the problem I keep going back to is I don't believe he was worth the contract that the Bengals signed him to, and the reason being, he's a franchise quarterback. He's contingent on having elite weapons on the field with him to make him good, and that means that you have to, in a salary cap sport, you have to sacrifice other positions. Bria hopped in the YouTube chat here on Theoretically Speaking and said it. Yeah, you definitely need a defense. You know, you want to know why they don't have Jesse Bates and DJ Reader? It's because they had to save their money to pay Joe Burrow and their guy, Ja'Marr Chase. Now they're going to be in a position next year and the year after and the year after where Joe Burrow's cap hit going to keep climbing, Is his production going to do so with it, or have we already seen the peak of what he's going to be? We talked about it yesterday. The dude's 27 years old. He's older than Sam Darnold. There's young guns in the league right now, including the guy that he went up against, that look better than him on given Sundays already. And Jaden Daniels is three games into his career. I just, if you're a Bengals fan and if you're in that front office, you've got to be just objectively disappointed with what you have on your roster, including the starting quarterback. And if you're the Washington Commanders, the statement that they made on Monday Night Football is we've been talking about. Who made the biggest statement? What was the statement made on Monday Night Football with our doubleheaders? Jaden Daniels said, I may be young, but I'm ready. I'm ready. And that dude right there, I'm not going to go out as far as some of y'all and say that the Chicago Bears made the wrong pick at number one, but I know one thing for sure, the Commanders made the right pick at number two. Because that dude is balling, and he's looking like a guy that if he can stay healthy is going to be an elite person. And like you said, a gold jacket dude down the line.
Well, hey, I said if it goes as they want it to, which of course they want it to go that way.
He can. I'm not saying put the gold jacket on him right now, but I am saying.
Wait, you can't even say he can.
He can.
If he can, then anybody in the world can, or anybody in the NFL can win the gold jacket.
No, Bo Nix can't.
I don't think you can say he can't.
I can. I literally today will stake a claim that Bo Nix is not going to be a Hall of Fame quarterback. I feel fine saying that. Very comfortable. Joe Burrow might not either.
What I can say is that the Commanders just certified and made the statement. We talked about entering the show. Who made the biggest statement last night? One of those statements was the Washington Commanders saying, we are a contender in the division. It's not just a two-team race anymore. We're not talking about the Giants. We're talking about the Eagles and the Cowboys. It's not a two-team race anymore. It is a three-team race, and I'm excited for that.
That is interesting in the NFC East. People have written off that division for just the Eagles and Cowboys. Both the Eagles and the Cowboys have disappointed in spots, whereas the Commanders have impressed us. And I like that statement from the Commanders. They can contend for their division, and Jaden Daniels can be a Hall of Fame quarterback, unlike Bo Nix. Who do you think has a better chance? Let's just do this right quick, and then I'll get your statement. Who made the biggest statement on Monday Night Football? Let me be Sports Talk Radio guy. This feels like something Evan Cohen would ask right now on Unsportsmanlike and then get incredulous looks from everybody around. Who has a better shot at a Hall of Fame career? Jaden Daniels or Joe Burrow?
Joe Burrow. Yeah, it's Joe Burrow. That's what I would say right now.
Why would you say that right now? What about Joe Burrow through these first 4 years and then outlook for what the Bengals have in front of them as they're 0-3 right now and just lost to Jaden Daniels? What about him paints the picture of a Hall of Fame quarterback?
I think making it to a Super Bowl is more of a team and quarterback accomplishment than anything that Jaden Daniels has done so far.
Of course. I mean, he's three games in. It's more projecting. But what I will say is Jaden Daniels has a lot more of a runway. Jaden Daniels, who just outdueled Joe Burrow on primetime television, also is working with an organization that is under new leadership that you would hope has the kind of consistency you'd need. And also, Joe Burrow has a huge, long, long line of injury concerns. Who knows how long the dude will be playing? Jaden Daniels is frail, but the dude plays football. He takes them hits.
Oh, he seeks out contact.
Yeah.
This is also a disgusting thing you just brought up. We got to get out of this immediately.
Oh, yeah. I'm a jerk. Yeah. I'm going all in on my anti-Joe Burrow stuff right now because I'm sick of everybody parading the dude up like he's done something in this league that is beyond just also being part of a really good team. I'm not saying he's a bad quarterback. He was a really good player on a really good team that now is going to be paid like an elite quarterback. And once they start doing that, they're not going to be able to surround him with that elite level talent anymore.
But what else would you have done?
You have to pay him for sure. Yeah. I'm not saying they did the wrong thing. I'm just saying now I think that their window, like again, we always say they'll be back. Right, Tina? You hear that in sports. You hear that in everything. Like, oh, you'll have another chance. You'll be back. I don't think the Bengals will be back. And it's because now they have to pay him again, like an elite level quarterback, and he's already 27 and he's already getting passed up by younger dudes in his own conference.
So I have a dramatic take.
Ooh, from Monday Night Football.
Not really, I guess, about Joe Burrow.
Okay.
So he is giving me, because I'm thinking back to this summer where Joe Burrow was in like this Paris Fashion Week. Yeah. He's doing this hair dye stuff. He is, and again, this is dramatic. He's giving me like Russell Wilson vibes of like that celeb, like look at me. And I feel
Russell
like,
Wilson or Westbrook? You're saying Russell Wilson, the
Wilson,
quarterback.
Yes, like okay, that, babe, how yeah. he's like when he's like out and about and he has like people like in, he's like more into like the outside where like the being married to Sierra and like all that. And also we would go back and forth about like Travis Kelce and this whole Taylor Swift stuff of like, oh, like he's so distracted outside of football and how he is like with Taylor Swift and at all these events and he's not focused, but like he's still performing. And like, I just don't think like Joe Burrow, again, like as you're like preparing for the season, like he was doing all these things. And again, like I hate to look back at this and be like, oh, like he was doing all this stuff. Like that's why he's not prepared. But like for me, like when I've been seeing Joe Burrow and we talked about too with like Will Levis, like I'm not seeing like football things ever about him on like my feed. I'm seeing always like, again, like I'm seeing Will Levis's girlfriend and who he's dating right now. I'm seeing Joe Burrow and that he's in Paris Fashion Week and that he's doing all these events, which he should be
have
as an athlete, like have your fun. But again, like we think like, oh, like you're being paid this much money, like, and your team, like go out there and perform as well.
You know what ain't fun for Joe Burrow is he's having all that fun off the field, like you're saying?
Losing.
Playing football. Losing right now. Yeah. And you have your star wide receiver, Ja'Marr Chase, another LSU guy, which I'm starting to question though, Tina, how strong the LSU bond is between players and whatnot. Because it doesn't feel like there's much of a relationship. Like people don't like Joe Burrow and Jaden Daniels are both former Heisman winning quarterbacks from LSU. Like same alma mater, did the same thing, transferred in and won a Heisman. I'm curious as to why they don't have a stronger relationship, but here's Joe Burrow's number one target, Ja'Marr Chase, on what he saw from the quarterback on the other side of the field.
What'd you think? He's a great effing player, not gonna lie.
Yeah, yeah, he is. And I think that great is gonna turn into elite one day, and I think that we've seen the best football out of Joe Burrow that we will, again, outside of them also surrounding him with more talent. They're gonna have to take sacrifices on defense, and it's gonna look like this, where you're getting 38 points hung on you by a rookie quarterback on Monday Night Football. Part of that stuff, like you said, Tina, it's not a good look.
Yeah.
When you're not performing well, when you're not winning, but you also are, dressed like a B-boy.
Yeah.
You know?
And again, like I love the whole, like he gives me Ken Barbie vibes with this like bleached hair, but I don't care about if I was a Bengals fan, like, oh, I don't care about your hair color that you're dying. Like I want to win.
You got to win. Yeah. You got to score more points than the other team. And at the Panthers next week, does not look like a easy feat anymore like it would have a week ago, because you're going to be going up against the former franchise quarterback of the Bengals and Andy Dalton, who has a point to prove. I tell you right now, and I said this about this game, and they lost it. If the Bengals slip up and lose at Carolina next week, like who has more? I mean, it's going to be the Jaguars. They're in a worse position than the Bengals would be, but the questions regarding their quarterback are going to be almost as loud, because he's really good, but the fact that you had to pay him this much and sacrifice that much around him is going to hurt you long run if you want to be a contender in the AFC. It just is.
So what questions are you asking about
quarterback? Did we pay him too much money, and should he be able to lift up this offense without us also having to pay Ja'Marr Chase $35-plus million a year?
And if you find the answer to that question, and if the answer is yes, we paid him too much money. Exactly. So that's why you can't even ask the question.
You have to draft your ass off is what you have to do. You have to, like the Lions have been able to do. The reason why they're able to pay Jared Goff $50-plus million and then Amon-Ra St. Brown $30-plus million is because they drafted guys like Laporta, like Gibbs, like Terrion Arnold, and they've struck gold in the draft. They've done really well in that facet. The Bengals are going to have to draft well as well if they're going to pay these kind of guys at those premier positions top-of-the-market money. I'm not saying they shouldn't do it. You have to re-up on Ja'Marr Chase, too. I'm just saying the reason why the future is so much brighter for Josh Allen, your guy, Lamar Jackson, your guy, Patrick Mahomes, my guy, is because they're able to lift up their offenses without needing a $35 million receiver, whereas Joe Burrow has not been good unless you've had a guy like that on the field, both in college and in the pros.
So if they find the answer to that question where, okay, maybe Joe Burrow was not the complete and total one-man fix job of really a really putrid Cincinnati organization before he got there, for many years before he got there, it's we got to invest more in Joe Burrow. Maybe not in dollars, but in time and development and re-kind of structuring how we're approaching his position.
To be honest with you, I don't think that's going to be the answer, too. What's going to end up happening with the Bengals, they're going to miss the playoffs this year. They're going to try to retool the roster a little bit. They're going to re-up Ja'Marr Chase. They got some up-and-coming weapons. They've drafted well with receiver because Yoshevich, is that how you say his name?
Yeah.
Yoshi?
Yeah, I didn't know that's how you pronounce his name until last night.
Yeah.
I was saying Iosivis, in fantasy football. Yeah. I was saying until last night.
He's been the talk of the town all offseason.
They call him Yoshi. That's why I should have gotten it. They call him Yoshi.
Yoshi. Like, he's going to be good, and you won't have to pay him for some years down the line. I do think there's a route in which the Bengals can bounce back from this, but they're not making the playoffs this year. And next year, the rest of the AFC is only going to continue to get stronger around them, including a team like the Steelers that are 3-0 that are going to have the quarterback's position. Your Steelers probably more figured out by then as well. It's not just a singular the Bengals are bad conversation. It's the Bengals are underwhelming. They're tied a lot of money into quarterback and wide receiver going forward, and the rest of the conference around them is good. If they were in the NFC, they can get away with this. They can't do that in the AFC.
No, they seem like they're going to be caught in the run it back cycle for a lot of years, because they've tied themselves into these contracts. They've committed themselves to this way of winning football games. There's no turning back now. So it might drive Bengals fans crazy, for as much as they can look back to the one year where the Bengals did pop out to a Super Bowl berth and think, okay, if we did it once, we can do it again. But you're going to see 3 or 4 years of the same method taking in terms of the core of this team.
Yeah, it happens all the time in sports. Remember when the Thunder made the finals against the Heat? Oh, they'll be back. Right? Like, it happens all the time, especially with young teams that have a year where they outperform expectations. You can never assume you'll be back on that stage, especially because the more success you have early, the more money that those players demand, and it's a salary cap sport. And there's going to be new rookies that come up and develop and deliver. And I think Joe Burrow is getting closer to that line, closer to that edge, that demarcation, than he is getting any better around that Bengals franchise. And that's why they're 0-3 today. Let's hop on the SafeBound Get Around. Let's get the motion going right quick. As Tina, is this your first ride on the SafeBound Get Around?
Maybe the second.
Second ride. So hop aboard. I get what you mean you don't know? Round, I get around. The SafeBound Get Around. You're safe with SafeBound. We're in motion with SafeBound as well.
Next stop.
And your first stop in the SafeBound Get Around. We're in Southside Chicago.
Yeah.
History on the line tonight.
Damn right.
Guaranteed rate field. Wouldn't want to be anywhere else. That's where the White Sox host the Angels for a chance to be the worst team of all time.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to be anything, be the one thing, right? Be the best at something, and they're going to be the best at losing ever in Major League Baseball. I'm excited for White Sox fans. If you're going to be that horrid, you might as well go get the record. They also have six more games left, so the record's going to be theirs anyways.
Yeah.
I hope they do it at home. Give the fans what they're looking for.
You know what? If you've been watching White Sox games all season, one, get your priorities straight. Spend some time with your family.
Please.
Do some charity work. I don't know. Do something else for those 3 hours a night. But if you are a White Sox fan, you're watching these games, think about yourself maybe 30 years in the future. You can say, you know what? I'm a real White Sox fan.
Hell yeah.
I was a fan when they were the worst regular season baseball team of all time. At least you can put that feather in your cap.
You earned it. I think fans should want this to happen more than the opposite. How pissed would I be if I'm a White Sox fan and now they win out the rest of the year? And now we're just tied for the worst team of all time.
Exactly. Yeah.
Jerry Reinsdorf was right, man. He said players don't win championships. Organizations do. And organizationally, they've been a complete and utter failure, and they're not winning championships. They're going to win the record for most losses. Seeing if you were in Chicago, would you try to pull up tonight, 7:40, first pitch?
I don't think I'd pull up. I would spend my time maybe a little more wisely. But hey, go big or go home.
It's history, man. Yeah. Hope them Angels are doing it big in the outfield tonight.
Next stop,
Germany. Somewhere there.
Yeah, why would it be in Germany?
Munich.
I want some brats, though. Some bratwurst.
Brats?
Brat.
Brats. Okay. Brats.
Yeah, I said the wrong
one. Sauerkraut.
Kraut? You put the sauerkraut on the brat.
Well, we are in Germany because 49ers dynamic running back CMC, McCaffrey, he's traveling to Germany to see a specialist regarding his Achilles tendonitis. He's going to be there for a couple of days, and right now he's expected to miss at least six games.
There's... You never want to hear this. Like, I would prefer to hear that McCaffrey went to Germany maybe 5 or 6 weeks after he's already back, right? But hearing that he's going to Germany as he goes to Germany to see a specialist, it just feels like the situation is even more dire than we thought. Have we seen the best days of C-Mac? Have we seen the best days already of him? Is as a running back, is his career pretty much over with? That's on the line at this point. Because an Achilles injury at that age, at that position, that's scary. Scary news.
Yeah, he might fall off a cliff in terms of production at the running back position. Saying he stays healthy, if he does play this year, I don't think we're going to see the same Christian McCaffrey.
There's no way.
That just seems like extreme measures for an injury. Like, you want to get back, like, sooner than you probably need to.
Yeah, imagine how uncomfortable a flight is with a bad Achilles all the way to Germany. I don't care what type of airline you're flying on, that's going to suck.
Well, if they give you a little brat with some kraut, that'll make it better.
I had my first airline food ever on my trip to Italy. So bad.
Yes. So oh, you mean like actual platter type airline food?
Yeah,
right.
Where they serve you breakfast and they serve you dinner.
Never good.
Oh, wow.
No, they served me penne alla vodka at like 7 a.m. I think it was a mistake. They served breakfast when dinner should have been and dinner when breakfast should have been.
I love breakfast for dinner.
I love breakfast any time of the day. I would ask for the breakfast twice.
Same.
But, like, okay, you can deal with that, but you're having
dinner for breakfast is
but
horrible.
You're forced
or
to
seafood,
have,
yeah.
Yeah.
Dinner for breakfast is an absolute disaster.
Yeah, no.
I would have gave it back to him.
Really bad.
Next stop,
Las Vegas, Nevada, Devontae Adams. Remember him? He's an active NFL wide receiver on the Raiders. He's dealing with quarterback problems, however. Here is what he had to say about Jaden Daniels on the Up and Adams show with Kay Adams.
He won the Heisman for a reason. I mean, he's a special player. We were hoping that maybe all the teams didn't think so, and he could slip down to the Raiders, a little while ago. But
come on. You can't do this. This is my problem with athletes being so overexposed, having so many open mics. You already have a quarterback controversy on your football team actively. We're only 3 weeks into the season. We literally have reports that, you know, Antonio Pierce, he's been flirting with the quarterback change. They're going to stick with Gardner Minshew instead of going to Aiden O'Connell. But what message does that send your guys in your locker room, the guys that are supposed to be throwing you the ball, if you're openly talking about, like, damn, we was hoping Jaden would have fell to us so he could be throwing me the ball?
We're all adults here, though. They're all adults there. I think Gardner Minshew knows that if he was franchise quarterback or at least just solid starting quarterback material, then it would have happened by now. Aiden O'Connell probably knows he's not the answer. Read the tea leaves himself. I think that shows maturity within the organization that Devontae Adams knows he can say that.
I would just hope Devontae Adams would, like, if he's going to say it on a hot mic, he's going to say it so, like, it stays.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he did, pretty much.
He did, but I mean, like, I'd hope, like, if you are going to say, like, it's aware in the locker room.
That is the thing, too. And that's my only problem with it. It's not that he said it, because we all know the truth. We're not idiots. Yeah. You're right. They're adults. You, in the middle of a football season, for you to literally, it's disrespectful. It's disrespectful to your own teammates. And if you're talking about going to war for guys and being a team, going through the thick of things, like, if you're saying this 3 weeks in, you're telling the world you don't have much confidence in the two guys that are throwing you the football right now, or the one guy in Gardner Minshew. And I think that that's not, in football, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't do it. No.
Jaden Daniels will look good with that offense, though.
Oh, my God.
I mean, he looks good with the offense he is now.
I was about to say, he just looks good in general. He's just a good dude playing football. And the Raiders cannot run the ball at all, and he would help with that, too.
Next stop.
Last stop on the Safebound Get Around. You're safe with Safebound. We're going to Chapel Hill, North Carolina.
I was just in Charlotte.
Okay.
A little slingshot away. A stone's throw.
Tar Heels football coach ride. Mac Brown. Remember him? Well, he's still with North Carolina. He and North Carolina took a long...
Sorry.
Took a big... You messed me up.
Sorry.
It took a big loss at home for James Madison over the weekend. 70-50. Not a basketball score. It's what North Carolina's known for. They lost 70-50 on the football field, and that wasn't the worst of it. North Carolina trailed at half, 53-21. Reportedly, Mac Brown got so emotional after this embarrassing loss to James Madison, he told his team he was walking away from the job.
Oh, my God.
He's going to quit.
My gosh.
Brown has since taken that statement back, and he will not resign. He said, I'm coming back to work this week. He has apologized for it.
What will be more embarrassing for North Carolina? Them losing 70-50 to James Madison like they did in football, or in basketball since they're known as a basketball school? Because both are terrible.
Yeah. Basketball, got to be. They're known for it.
Yeah.
I know Mac Brown changes things with that program. Like, you're kind of expected a little bit more. But it doesn't erase history that you know of North Carolina football.
I mean, a team could get hot in basketball, though. Hit a lot of threes. You're not hot. Like, in today's
day
and age,
you know what? Yeah.
It can happen in basketball. It's bigger headlines, though, in football, because a 20-point shellacking, that's just...
I think I saw that. Didn't they pay, like... 500 something thousand, or it's like a crazy money amount game. Of money to play there.
Mm-hmm.
Paid them boys to come and whoop that tail.
Ugh.
If I pay you and you come in my house and drop 70 on me, I would have a problem. I would have a problem with that.
It's also a different type of like remorse and embarrassment of saying you're gonna quit and then not quitting and coming back to work on Monday. Like, put yourself in perspective.
That's weird.
It's uncomfortable. Yeah.
That's weird.
Mac Brown has such a legacy and is respected by so much, he got away with it.
Yeah.
Not many coaches could do that.
Nah.
By saying, you know what? I'm done. That's it. I'm out of here. They'd get laughed out the building the next time I try to show up.
100%. That's absolute loser talk. And also, if your player said something like that, how would you treat it, Mac Brown?
Exactly. Your quarterback says, all right, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
Like, see ya. We don't want you.
Yeah, I didn't even think about it that way. That's a good point. That's a good point. Tina, you work out every single morning, and I know one thing about you. You've never quit in the middle of an F45 workout. You ain't got no quit in your bones.
I would never quit.
Come on.
F45, this week is the week to try F45. It's free. If you've never tried a class or ever been to F45, till this Sunday, go to F45 West Palm Beach, F45 Palm Beach Gardens, and see why I'm so obsessed with it and why I every day want to get up and work out at 5:15 a.m. And the people around you, the trainers, it is a great spot. Again, you can really see what it's like from a strength class, from a cardio. There's hybrid. They've got plenty of times in the morning, the evening, the afternoon, whatever works best for your schedule. F45 West Palm Beach, F45 Palm Beach Gardens. It is a welcome week. And if you've never tried a class, it is free. Check them out on their Instagram pages or go to f45training.com to find a location near you.
We've got a little Prize Picks talk on the other side. Prize Pick, of course, is the sponsor. They are a partner. They are our presenters of our YouTube stream. So shout out to Prize Picks for that. I'll give an update on the entry I gave out for this past Monday Night Football slate. Plus, we're going to deliver to you one of the more disturbing things I've read this morning, and it's Tina, something that you sent, C-Cat, and I. That dude asked y'all for what?
I know.
And then y'all did it.
Yeah.
You shouldn't agree to things
say
like
no.
That's just that. You're in trouble. That's Tina. That's C-Cat. I'm Theo Dorsey. We're Theoretically Speaking on ESPN 106.3.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is Theoretically Speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
I know we don't have football tonight, but it's ladies' night on the hardwood, and that's why I love Prize Picks. C-Cat, you were asking me about Prize Picks. You said, how many actual, like, selections can you do on a lineup? It's between 2 and 6. You can do as few as you want between 2. And then also you can do up to 6.
You're feeling froggy.
I did 6 for Monday Night Football. I did 6 for last night, and I only went 3 out of 6. So though I've had a few winning lineups on Prize Picks, I had a loser last night because the games kind of went unexpected. The Bills really blew out the Jaguars. And James Cook could not get those rushing yards because they didn't really need him to.
I wonder if they were offering Mitch Trubisky more or less than. Because you saw a lot of Mitch that I didn't expect to see.
We did. And you know what? Whatever that would have been, the more would have hit. And that's how easy it is. You just pick more or less on stats and player props. Prize Picks is America's number one daily fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members, including myself. So join in on the fun. And this is the best part. Right now, one Caleb Williams passing yard, that gets you one win on Prize Picks every single week in September. But remember, that ends when September ends. So you only got one more weekend to make sure you put more on a Caleb Williams passing yards. It's like a free square. It's a free win right there. You can win now up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. That's if you're really savvy like myself. So I hit big on my first football weekend. I'm looking to strike big as well when it comes to the ladies' night tonight on the hardwood, postseason ball. And that's why I love Prize Picks. It's not just one sports. It's all of them available to you. So download the Prize Picks app today. Use the code THEOD. We'll put it in the YouTube chat as well. Use code THEOD. And whether you win or lose, you get $50 instantly when you play a $5 lineup. That's right. Use the code THEOD on Prize Picks. You get $50 right into your account. That's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game. And Tina, I hate to tell it to you like this straight raw, but what happened to y'all, was this earlier today or yesterday?
This was this morning.
This morning. What happened to you was a brother running his game on y'all, and it worked.
I don't think so. This was a very weird situation.
Okay.
So I go for morning runs along the beach, you know, as I've mentioned a few times, I'm training for a marathon and I have to get so many miles a week on certain days. And I usually run along the beach in the morning and it's me, my friend and her husband. And this morning after all of our runs, we always take like a sunrise picture, you know, of the beach, whatever, sometimes like a selfie of us. And there's always people walking along the beach. It's early in the morning around like 7 a.m. And we were taking a picture and this older man was like, oh, pose. And we just kind of were like, whatever, we posed. And then we had my friend's husband. I was like, oh, hey, like, will you take a picture of us?
Yeah.
Of me and my friend. And as he's taking a picture of us, then the guy is taking pictures of us, of her
of
husband, of all of us. Yes. The three of us.
Yes.
And he says out loud, he goes, I just like taking pictures and pictures of people taking pictures.
How close was he to y'all?
This picture was for him. Like, you didn't hand him a phone.
No, yeah, this was on his phone. Yeah. I have no idea where it's going, what it's being used for. I have a stranger completely. We're probably about like 20 feet from each other, like 20, 30 feet.
Oh, so
We're like the end of this like boardwalk and he's like at kind of the beginning, but like it's not that far apart.
Yeah.
We walked away and I go, I wonder where those pictures are going to go. Like, dude, does this guy just like take pictures of people and like saves them on his phone? And, or just like, is he like a Facebook? He posts like a big album on Facebook of like, oh, you know, Tuesday morning walk and
faces of Palm Beach County and the Treasure Coast.
Yeah. Like Jupiter, you know, kids, whatever. I don't know.
Well, first off, you refer to yourself as kids.
Yeah.
Well, in his eyes, in his eyes, he might think of us as kids.
Yes. Okay.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, he may say that.
Okay. So here's another question.
I'm not afraid of 30, and I'm not that close.
Did he have a professional camera, or was it his phone?
Oh, it was his cell phone.
I don't know, man. That's a little weird.
That's
extremely weird.
And too, it's like when he was like posed, like all of us kind of just like did like a funny pose. But it's like, and we didn't think anything of it because it was just like in the moment, like it happened so fast. What do you do?
Yeah, that's going to be on the dark web. I don't know what he's doing with those photos. I don't know what kind of AI he's running through them, but that's going to be, that's not, I'm sorry to break it to you. Next time a stranger tells you to pose though,
say
get
no.
out of there.
Say no.
Absolutely get out of there.
It feels like a horror movie.
Is that why you gave us this deep music right here?
This is like when they check the phone after things happen. Like, oh, wait, this is from last year. Wait, that's Christina in the wild.
Oh, my gosh.
Wait, the signs were all there.
Yeah. This guy's been walking around stalking y'all for weeks.
Yeah.
And finally you got a pick.
Watch out, Tina. Watch
I'll
your
keep
back.
My eyes open.
Make sure her husband stays with y'all on all those runs.
He does.
That's what I was about to say.
We're all doing the training together, so okay. It's always us three.
Yeah, keep him with you.
Yeah.
Because whoever this dude is, this creep who pulled out, and I know you don't want to call him that. I'm going to call him that. This creep who pulled his phone out and said pose and started snapping pictures of y'all from afar. I don't like one bit of it.
I think it was like more... It was more like weird of like admitting like, oh, I like to take pictures of people taking pictures. I was just like, okay. Yeah.
See, that's what I'm saying. That sounds like an excuse.
That sounds like he's something made up on the spot.
Yeah.
He, for some reason, did not think he was going to get questioned, and he didn't.
We didn't question up the information. Him. Yeah, yeah.
I like...
He over-explained himself.
People taking... yeah, no.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Well, this is fun for me because I've been waiting to debut this for a long time. It is what we're going to do to end the happy hour every single day with Tina. It's time now for The Last Call. Ooh, okay. This is like how that music just comes on in. There we go. So this is The Last Call, Tina. This is how you send us off as we end happy hour with you. The joyous moment on Theoretically Speaking. It's sad to see you go, but you leave by dropping off some wisdom. And The Last Call today is brought to you by Duffy Sports Grill. Because, you know, all day, every day is 2-for-1 drinks. Holla at me. What's The Last Call today, Tina? What should we toast to?
So I'm super excited to do this, The Last Call. And my first one is going to be kind of my, like, 2024 motto, which was, if they wanted to, they would. And this I look at from a friend standpoint, from a family standpoint, from a spouse, anything. If people want to do something, they would do it. And this kind of came up, you know, we talked about this yesterday, doing this today, and I happened to be with a friend last night who let me know that she moves around a lot, that in this long time period that she moved away, I was the only friend that visited her. And she was making excuses for her other friends as to why they didn't come and why they couldn't visit and family and all this. I was like, you know what? If they wanted to visit you, they would have visited you.
Damn right.
And that's just, I tell myself all the time, first, like someone or anything in your life, again, if it's family, if it's friends, if it's a spouse, if it's, you know, someone you're dating, whatever, if someone wanted to do something, they would do it for you.
Absolutely.
You know, maybe even in work situations, like if they wanted to, they would.
Hold people accountable.
Yes.
Like if Tina was supposed to send an email to y'all in the morning, but she waited until 30 minutes before the show, she would have.
I would. I would have.
If he wanted to take a picture of you on the boardwalk,
yeah,
he would.
He would.
And he did. Yeah, he did.
The Last Call brought to you by Duffy Sports Grill. I absolutely love that. If you wanted to, you would pull up to a Duffy Sports Grill and become an MVP like myself, like Tina, like C-Cat. We're all MVPs. It's as simple as going to duffysmvp.com and signing up today so you can start tracking your rewards because it's football season, baby. And you got 80 or more televisions in every single Duffy's location. You got the jumbo wings. You got the award-winning burgers. But best of all, in The Last Call, I mean, you got 2-for-1 drinks all day, every day. They ain't going to shortchange you. Don't worry. If you're at drink number 5 and it's getting close to last call, the waiter or waitress is going to come on over to you and say, hey, buddy, it's last call here. How would you like? What would you like for your second drink here in the 2-for-1 special? That's love.
I love that. You don't got to remind them that you're on the second leg of a 2-for-1. They remind you.
Yes.
That is what I will credit. Duffy Sports Grill ain't going to leave you hanging. There's some places that would like to keep that second drink to themselves. Like, oh, maybe you'll forget.
Yeah.
Nah. They make sure you get it.
And sometimes when you're on like third or fourth, the numbers get fuzzy. You forget which even number or odd number drink you're on.
Yeah, you can't count on the table because they're taking the glasses away. It's expert service there. But they look out for you. They lock in with you. 2-for-1 drinks all day, every day. The last call brought to you by Duffy Sports Grill. At Duffy's, our game is always on. Appreciate you pulling up. Thanks for leaving us with that last call. Looking forward to that segment going forward. That's Tina. That's C-Cat. I'm Theo Dorsey. On the other side, we bring in, is it Mike Rizzo today?
No, he's out, dude.
Mike Rizzo's still sick. Oh, man, he's under the weather. So we'll have Colin Russo, maybe. I don't think we've confirmed that. Maybe we get Colin Russo for the crossover here on Theoretically Speaking on ESPN 106.3. Lock in with me, Twin. On a Tuesday, it's Theoretically Speaking. Theo Dorsey, C-Cat. We got Colin Russo popping up from Russo and Rizzo. Let me tell you something, man. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care has a team of skilled orthopedic sports medicine surgeons and specialists that specialize in surgical and non-surgical treatments to get you back to what you love. Don't put off seeing the doctor. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho for more information today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care combines its resources of experienced physicians and leading-edge treatments and technology to provide advanced orthopedic, foot and ankle, joint replacement, spine, and sports medicine care. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho for more information today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care has offices conveniently located in Palm Beach County through the Florida Keys. Learn more by visiting baptisthealth.net/ortho. Feeling weak in the knees and probably a little limp in the joints are likely most Jaguars fans coming off of that 47-10 shellacking last night on Monday Night Football. And speaking of Jaguars fan, my guy Colin Russo from Russo and Rizzo right here with me. What's one word to describe how you're feeling? Are you dejected? Was it obviously going to happen? Do you not even feel anything anymore?
Unsurprised is the word that pops to mind. Pissed off, of course. In terms of, we were talking about how good the Bills might be.
Yeah.
No team in the NFL is 47-10 better than your opponent. No team. And it's, I'll get into it a little later, of course, but that is as embarrassing of a loss as I have seen in quite some time for the Jaguars. It's as unprepared as I have seen them since Urban Meyer was in charge. And that is saying something.
I won't walk, because we know how the Urban Meyer story ended, so I won't walk you into that one. I'll let you save that take on what you feel like should happen with Doug Peterson for Russo and Rizzo, which is right around the corner here as we do the crossover. I am curious, though, just for you as a Jags fan, as it stands today, how confident are you that you'll ever see the promise from Trevor Lawrence? Real talk, he's 0-8 in his last 8 starts. I know it's still kind of early in his career to be riding them all.
Yeah, no. So that last thing is what people are riding on. The fact that it's early in his career, quote-unquote. The fact that he signed a $55 million a year contract, that's thrown out the window.
Yeah.
The youth is no longer an excuse. He is young, but he is not a youthful NFL player at this point. 4 years in, making critical mistakes, frazzled. He was scared yesterday. Mm. So that's my take on him. And it's part of the idea of trapped relationships. You're trapped with him, so you're gonna have to let him figure it out. But as we've seen, all it takes is proper management and a proper staff to unlock the best out of an offensive quarterback.
The only thing is, though, and you made that point, I haven't seen it happen with the same organization. Generally, the quarterback leaves and finds that. So the Jaguars will be kind of
decent point
stepping into new territory,
but
there if they are
other,
going to do
there's
it.
Other quarterbacks who really don't take a step till later in their career. Guys like Matthew Stafford and, of course, Eli and Peyton. So I understand that, but you're right. I think I'm comparing him to Hall of Famers.
Yeah, it's getting late. It's getting late.
The idea is they need to figure it out quickly, and you're stuck with him. Get somebody to unlock him. That's the idea.
I feel for you. I feel for Jags fans everywhere, but at least you know this much. You got the one quarterback in the league, the one quarterback and really player in all of professional sports here in America that has his home stadium named after him. So you can lean back on that as a Jags fan. He made history.
Dumbest thing in the world.
Russo and Rizzo next. Going love.